Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, as the Defective Blocks Working Group met again today, Tánaiste Dlí of Radcur told the Dáil that 100% redress is still very much on the table, but stressed no decisions have been made. He was answering questions from Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle. Earlier, the Tánaiste clashed with Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty over student accommodation and the general housing crisis. Well, there's a student sleeping outside the Dáil tonight. We'll hear from the Union of Students in Ireland. The government says giving all frontline staff extra leave to recognise their pandemic work could cost €1 billion, but unions say that figure is inaccurate. Later in the programme, Oisín Kelly is here with Sports News. That's coming up at around 5:15. And as it's a Thursday, we'll have Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. That'll be directly after the sport. But we begin with discussions today in Dáil Éireann. And as the Defective Blocks Working Group was meeting again, the Tánaiste told the Dáil that 100% redress is still very much on the table, but no decisions have been made. Leo Radcliffe was questioned on the issue in the Dáil this afternoon by Deputy Thomas Pringle, who said a senior government source is now briefing the media that 100% redress is being considered by government. Deputy Pringle paid tribute to the tenacity of Mica redress campaigners and called on the government to give a clear timeline as to when a decision will be confirmed.
I note this morning that what is described as a senior government source is now briefing the media that 100% redress for Mica families is being considered by the government. This is some position shift from your own statements of last week. And as always, there are caveats with this latest kite-flying exercise, testing the waters to see what might be acceptable. Nothing new to see this government all over the place on an issue. And I have to say, fair play to the Donegal Mica redress campaigners, as the pressure of their protest is clearly moving your government's position on the issue in the right direction by the day. And their message is clear, 100% redress, nothing less. Will we see a cabinet decision on Mica redress in the first week of October, as the Taoiseach has said in New York last night, or should we expect more delays from your government?
100% is not off the table. It's very much on the table. If you actually read my comments the other day, I didn't say anything contrary to that. Others chose to present it in a particular way, and that happens sometimes. But 100% is very much under consideration. As things stand, we are working on an enhanced scheme being led by the Department of Housing, by Minister O'Brien, in consultation with the affected families. Once the scheme is developed, it will require approval from DEEPER, and then it will go to Cabinet. While I've seen speculation in the papers, just like you, I've seen nothing in writing and have no information on the detail of the enhanced scheme, but it is being worked on by Minister McGrath. When it's available, I'm sure we'll be able to share the details with people.
And that was Tánaiste Dlí of Radcur and Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle in Dáil Éireann this afternoon. Well, earlier, Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty clashed with Mr. Radcur over student accommodation and the general housing crisis. In a heated back-and-forth exchange, Mr. Radcur said Deputy Doherty did not have a monopoly on compassion and understanding. He then brought up Sinn Féin's record in the power-sharing government in Northern Ireland, and that elicited a swift response from the deputy. The exchange ended with the intervention of the last Cancorla, Catherine Connolly.
Would you listen to the voices of the people? Forget about what we're saying, listen to them, Tánaiste, and a bit of humility, and maybe look at it through the prism of the individuals as opposed to the landlords and speculators who you are always
undersaying. Deputy Doherty, you had 4 minutes to put a question. That's and you reality. Had a minute to put a question.
The truth hurts. Listen to Liveline.
When the two gentlemen are acting in a most ungentlemanly fashion, finish, could you please have a little respect?
Well, the Department of Higher Education says the use of student accommodation for other housing purposes is deeply disturbing. The Union of Students in Ireland is calling for new laws to stop student accommodation being used for short-term lettings. A protest is taking place outside the Dáil this evening to highlight the acute shortages of somewhere to stay at college. That will include a sleepover on the streets tonight. Caoimhe Walsh is welfare officer with the Students' Union at UCC. She says finding accommodation is becoming extremely tough.
We have an accommodation group. When I took it over the start of June, I think there was 12,000 members in it. There's 13,400 members in it now. So, and everybody in it is searching for accommodation. So it's crazy. There's a huge gap there. Like there's no houses, and the students are literally like living on their friends' couches.
The number of COVID-19 patients at Letterkenny University Hospital has fallen again. Latest figures showing 17 people being treated, two of them in ICU. HPSC figures meanwhile show that in the 2 weeks to midnight on Tuesday, there were 1,255 new cases of COVID in Donegal. That's an incidence rate of 788 cases per 100,000 people. It compares to a national rate of 387. 1,165 new coronavirus cases meanwhile reported north of the border this afternoon, with an additional 8 COVID-related deaths. 383 patients are being treated for COVID in hospitals in Northern Ireland, 31 of them in ICU. The government says giving all frontline staff extra leave to recognise their pandemic work could cost €1 billion. However, unions say this figure is inaccurate. The government has once again said it is committed to recognising the work of frontline staff. And Paul O'Donoghue's special report begins in March of last year. In the Dáil.
Let us all please stand and applaud as a mark of thanks and respect to the workers in the front line.
Last March, TDs stood up in the Dáil to applaud the work of healthcare staff during the pandemic. Unions now say the time has come for something more concrete, the granting of either bonus pay or bonus leave to all HSE staff. But Public Expenditure Minister Michael McGrath says other workers could look for this too, which could significantly drive up costs.
For 10 days leave across the health service would be a minimum cost of €377 million. And if you were to provide the same 10 days leave across the full public service, the cost would exceed €1 billion. So the costs are very significant.
However, Tony Fitzpatrick from the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation says a bonus is well deserved.
Everyone had a role, a different role to fulfil, whether it was establishing, testing and tracing, rolling out the largest vaccination programme in the history of the state and all of that. So our view is that healthcare workers deserve to be recognised for the contribution they've made.
The Labour Court has recommended the two sides go into talks and HSE says it is still considering the matter.
The General Secretary of the INTO today repeated his criticism of the HSC and NPHET's decision to stop contact tracing of asymptomatic children who are close contacts in primary school education or childcare environments. From next Monday, children under the age of 13 in those settings will no longer have to self-isolate if they are a close contact of a COVID case and are asymptomatic, unless they are told to do so by the health service. For children who are symptomatic, self-isolation protocols will still apply. Well, Donegal doctor and GP Kieran O'Farrell is welcoming the move. On today's 9 till noon show, he told Greg Hughes that data released on the numbers testing positive in school settings is low enough to allow for a more relaxed contact tracing programme.
I think at this stage it's probably the right call. I understand there's a lot of apprehension about it, but if we look at the figures, the hit rate from testing of asymptomatic close contacts in the school setting is very, very low. And so I think the assessment that NPHET have made at this point is that the risk to children in that age group is so low that the benefits of education outweigh that. And so they've made that change at this time.
And it is a balance, isn't it? Because it's the balance against, I suppose, two really quite invasive testing where 95% of the, or 94% of the children have it and are told they're negative. But also, you know, them being withdrawn from school and society for 10 days versus what seems to be a very small risk.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose if we look at the potential risks that are involved in it, you know, you're looking at the risk to the children themselves of COVID, which is very, very low. And now the risk of them bringing illness home to other people. And we're looking at huge numbers of vaccinated people at home. So the chances of that causing a knock-on infection is very, very low as well. And so, you know, we're looking at over 1,000 children being designated close contacts in school setting every day. So that's, you know, huge numbers of children missing a very substantial portion of their education every week. I think the figures they quoted yesterday were that over the last 3 weeks, about 750 children who were designated as close contacts in the school setting tested positive. So that's from about 30,000 children who are restricting their movements. So that's a positivity rate of about 2%. So, you know, asking 30,000 children to restrict their movements for 10 days for 750 positive tests.
And that was Dr. Kieran O'Farrell. Detectives investigating the murder of journalist Lira McKee in Derry in April 2019 have arrested a 55-year-old man. He was detained in Belfast this morning under the Terrorism Act. He's being questioned at the Serious Crime Suite at Musgrave Police Station. Two men aged 24 and 29 were detained in Derry yesterday. They remain in custody. Three men have already been charged with Lira's murder. A further two have been charged with rioting and associated offences. The PSNI has confirmed that the remains of missing Derryman Emmett Dillon were recovered from the River Foyle yesterday. They say the family of Mr. Dillon has been informed and while a post-mortem examination will be carried out in due course, they are not treating his death as suspicious. Punished at Leo Varadkar told the Dáil today there will be an increase in the minimum wage in the budget. He also said he believes there should be tax indexation to take account of rising wages. That would mean the point at which someone begins to pay the higher rate of tax would go up. Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue believes that's an important measure.
I would make the point, as I think the Tánaiste did, that what we are trying to do here is keep as much of the wage growth that workers may gain by being able to go back to work or stay in a job, trying to protect as much of that as we can from an increased level of taxation that would just be caused by the wages going through personal tax brackets.
A Donegal councillor says women who were deprived of hundreds of thousands of euro in wages because they were forced to leave their jobs are now being deprived of proper pensions, and that's a grave injustice. Councillor Ian McGarvey says he's aware of women who were in professional jobs but married at 22 and were forced to leave. He says in the 44 years between then and retirement, they had the potential to earn in excess of half a million euro but were prevented from doing so. He says this gives rise to issues that must be addressed in the Dáil.
When I really look at how people have been treated, say some girl at 22 years of age and a good job, a professional job, immediately she got married, had to leave her work. I've been looking at that woman at 22, would be 44 years she'd reach the age of 66. If and when she had continued to work at 300 per week, that woman would have earned 666,400. If she had been employed at 250 per week, she would have lost in the meantime in that 44 years 572,000. That couldn't be described other than as criminal. I am calling on the representatives to take a real look at what has been happening to the women of this country, deprived from getting a pension of any kind at all.
Is it your belief then that the government should sit down and figure out what the pension entitlements of these women would be if they'd stayed in those public service positions and that they'd be paid a pension accordingly?
The people that I refer to deserve an apology, number one, and number two, to address the problem and give them some type of compensation, no matter how long they live now, over the next few years. You know what the President has done, those people that I refer to, many of them won't be about today. And that's a sad story as well. So here we have a constitution that tells us we treat our people equally, we respect their rights and we do so, X, Y, Z. And yet and all, we ignore it then when it's suitable. So I, unfortunately, can't stand for that and would erase it anywhere I possibly can in future.
And that was Councillor Ian McGarvey. Gardaí and Milford are appealing to anyone who was travelling on the Kilmacrenan to Letterkenny Road yesterday afternoon between 4:15 and 5 to come forward with information regarding a vehicle that was seen driving suspiciously. They say the grey Land Rover Discovery with a partial registration plate H10 was spotted in the Kilmacrenan area late yesterday afternoon. Gardaí are particularly anxious to hear from anyone who may have dash cam footage.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up for the club championship and get your training essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie.
16 minutes past five and we say good evening to Washington Kelly.
Thanks, Donald. We're going to start with Gaelic Games. I'm sure you heard at this stage of the day, the Donegal CCC have upheld Bundoran's objection to the result of the Ardra's one in the opening round of the Michael Murphy Sports Donegal Senior Football Championship, and they have ordered a replay of the game. The CCC have followed suit with their decision taken just weeks ago with the 2020 county final and instructing the game be played again, as they deemed more than five substitutes were used during the course of the match, which was won by Ardra at Pierce Memorial Park. Ardra have the right to appeal and they can do so within a 72-hour period, but this could rumble on for a number of weeks yet. But if the 2021 championship is to continue properly come the quarterfinal and relegation knockout stages, a result will be needed soon going forward. It could be a worrying situation. Here's Brendan Kilcoyne.
Well, that's the issue, and no one knows that, Oisin. It just drags on for a while because, you know, we have that split coming, top eight, bottom eight coming in the next few weeks following the completion of the first four round-robin games. And if this issue isn't resolved at that stage, the whole championship can only be held up, and that just drags things out. And as I say, I was involved in a similar situation back, I think it was 2003, when there was an objection to Eddie Brennan. That delayed the championship, and it wasn't played until the following Easter, I think it was played. And, you know, it takes the sparkle off the championship. It takes the momentum. We were all enjoyed being out at the games the last couple of weeks and seeing teams compete and seeing the club players, you know, who have had a tough enough time. Their football has been limited and there's been no crowds for a while. And this just brings more uncertainty to the whole completion of the championship. But I suppose, you know, teams just have to concentrate on the games in hand that are coming up this weekend, and that's all the players can do and the management teams can do, and just get on with it, and hopefully this thing will resolve itself out over the next few days.
That's Brendan Kilcorn, a winner, of course, with St Unions as a player manager of the Championship. And there's more from Brendan tonight on that issue and a preview of the eight senior games this coming weekend in round two of the Championship on the Score programme tonight, which is just after the 7 o'clock news. Also on the show, we'll be talking League of Ireland Soccer with former Fanharps goalkeeper Gavin Cullen. Plus, Alec McDonald will join us to discuss the early season form of the rugby clubs from the Northwest. Back to Gaelic Games. So there are a number of changes in timing to this weekend's championship fixtures. The senior championship matches at the Bridge in Dunfanaghy between St Michael's and Gweedore have now been pushed forward an hour. Senior at 3 o'clock, the B reserve is at 4:30. The intermediate championship games between Red Hughes and Neave Breed have also been moved forward an hour to 1 o'clock. The junior B game between Robert Emmetts and Downings has changed from Sunday to Friday at 6:30. And Mavill have withdrawn from the junior B championship, so their scheduled game is off this weekend and the points have been awarded to Uras. Championship action in Tyrone gets underway tonight. The seniors are not up and running until next week. This evening, the Junior Football Championship will start and Erny are in action as they host Fintna. That game is at Healy Park in Omagh and it starts at 7:30. So the club championship is starting, of course, later than the rest of the sides and the clubs around the Ulster. That, of course, is due to them being the All-Ireland champions. In golf, the opening ceremony for the 2021 Ryder Cup takes place in Wisconsin later today. European captain Padraig Harrington is also set to reveal his day one pairings. The opening ceremony is due to get underway at about 10 o'clock Irish time. Paul McGinley, of course, won the Ryder Cup as both a player and a captain, and he knows that this is one of the strongest American teams to take part in the competition. If Europe are to take a win away from home, Paul feels the conditions around the course will suit them this weekend.
It's not going to hurt the Europeans, the fact that there is a bit of wind, there's no doubt about that. It's, you know, the one thing you're trying to avoid from a European point of view is a golf course that's going to be a birdie fest, and obviously with the conditions being this difficult and forecasted to continue to be difficult, that's going to mitigate against the birdie fest, and because that's the strength of the Americans. If you look at all the statistics, you can kind of bring it all down to one thing: they're very good playing on the front foot, they're very good attacking golf courses, and this obviously in these conditions is not a golf course you can attack.
Celtic's bid for a place in the semi-finals of the Scottish League Cup will bid for a place rather in the semi-finals of the Scottish League Cup. That's this evening at 7:45. They're set to take on Raith Rovers. At the same time, Dundee United are playing Hibernian. And boxing talks continue about a possible billing of Jason Quigley and Demetrius Andre this November. Match room promoter Eddie Hearn has suggested this week that the Donegal middleweight could be the next challenger to the WBO champion. Hearn has revealed Quigley is the front runner and could take on the American in Boston come the 20th of November. Hearn thinks Quigley will get the fight, but it remains to be seen if the pen will get to the paper and a contract will be signed. At the start of September, Hearn said he made the fight offer to Quigley and his team. In rugby, Sam Carter will captain Ulster for their United Rugby Championship opener against the Glasgow Warriors tomorrow. Ethan McElroy will start at fullback, and there's a first competitive start for Bradley Roberts at hooker. That game, of course, is at the Kingspan Stadium in Belfast. And finally, a record entry of over 500 students from 26 schools took part in today's secondary schools cross-country action at Finn Valley. Schools from Donegal, Derry, Tyrone, Fermanagh, Monaghan and Antrim all descended on the Mulberry. Sean McGinley was an impressive winner of the senior boys and led St Union's to a team victory as well, while the senior girls race was won by recent Finn Valley AC recruit Emer O'Carroll off Loretto Oma. The full results there and indeed a gallery of pictures from today's action is available now in the sports section of HighlandRadio.com. That's your sports bulletin. Don't forget the scores after the 7 news. Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. Well, as it's a Thursday evening, it's time now for Farming News and Views. And we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Highland's Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafone Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. This evening the programme is focusing on farm safety and in particular AgriKids, a farm safety and educational platform. I've been speaking to its founder, Alma Jordan, who's been on the show before, about recent events, including the impact of COVID, the success of one Donegal school in a competition, new books on the way, and her involvement in the popular Wayne Fest, which takes place next month.
Yes, indeed, Chris. Thank you so much for having me back on. I suppose with the COVID pandemic, we were all kind of forced to adjust and pivot accordingly. And I very luckily got to team up alongside AgriWare and the Irish Farmers Association to finally put into action something I've been wanting to do for a very long time. We actually ran a pilot program called Farm Safe Schools, and it was a dedicated, fully supported farm safety educational program for primary schools, which ran from March until the end of May. And as part of that, we the schools who took part were accredited as farm safe schools if they completed the various topics and modules. And over the course of that program, we announced regional winners, where we got to meet some really, really special children who were very passionate about the topic and really embraced the whole concept. But we also had national winners and we had runners up, and a school, Ballymore National School, were the runners up for the whole program. They became the national runner-up, the senior class there. And I have to say, as soon as I saw their entry, I was absolutely blown away. These children, because they couldn't go out and visit farms at that stage, very much brought the farm into their own classroom. And they had speakers, they had the fire brigade came in, they were talking to the Donegal Sanctuary, they had farmers coming in, they had gardeners coming in. For me, every facet to do with farming was covered, and I was just absolutely overwhelmed, really, by the wealth and the quality of their submission. So not only were they accredited as a Farm Safe School, but they actually took home the national runner-up title and a nice cheque for €500, which was all with thanks to FBD. So it was an absolutely tremendous programme. And over 22,000 children were actually registered to take part in it. And I'll be honest, I wasn't sure if we were coming at schools at the right time with a brand new programme. I mean, teachers had so much to kind of put up with regards to online learning and trying to catch up on the curriculum when children went back into school. So I was concerned that, you know, we were going to be bombarding teachers, but that wasn't the case at all. And I'm really excited to hopefully run this programme once again. And we hope to launch details on that in November.
Now, let's just remind people about AgriKids. It goes back to 2014 when Ireland had its worst year on record for farm accidents. And this is what spurred you to really establish it.
It was. I was a new mum. I had a two-year-old, actually, and I grew up on a farm in Kildare, and I'm living on a farm just outside Drogheda. And I suppose it was the death of two young children in the August of that particular year that really kind of hit home. I was really upset for those families, and I just kind of asked myself the question, you know, well, you know, this could happen to us, and what makes us any different to anybody else? We are neither safer, we are neither more careful. And I suppose I resolved to, you know, to make sure that safety featured within our home. Farming was such a key part of my own childhood and will be of my son's. And I went looking really to kind of educate myself a little bit more around the topic. And I felt, do you know what, we're missing something here. We are not talking to enough people on this topic. We're not engaging with enough people. We're only really talking to farmers. And for me, you know, I want to be included in that conversation. Children need to be included in that conversation. And when I actually saw that farm safety was part of the national school curriculum under SPHE, you've got fire, farm, road and water safety, I said, do you know what? We need a really good, dedicated, child-centric strategy here. And that's really where AgriKids came about. I wanted to create more resources that families could use, that teachers could use, that communities could actually use to kind of bring a new look and a new approach to this whole topic, and to get, you know, not only more people, you know, aware about the topic, but to start, I suppose, a cycle where children became aware and instinctively safer as they got older, so that it wasn't something that they had to remember. It was something that they were already instinctive about. Like when we get into a car and we put on a seatbelt. You know, that's really where I want us to actually, that's the place that I want us to actually get to. 90% of farm accidents can be prevented. So I ask the question now, why can't we work to a strategy where we can try and prevent up to 90% of farm accidents, you know, and we really all need to work as a sector. We all need to work together on this in a far more collaborative way and to really get to a place where we are bringing down the rates of accidents and really putting a lot more power and a lot more spend behind it.
And key to this was bringing the farm safety message to people in what effectively was a fun and engaging way. You had a number of books and, again, a Donegal angle there with the illustrations.
Absolutely. Martin Beckett of One Tree Studios there in Mobile brought my storybooks to a life with his fantastic characters and colour. And that was big for me. I mean, children were my end user here. And if children didn't buy into it, then parents weren't going to buy into it. Then nobody was going to buy into it. So engage, educate and empower has been the ethos that I have aligned everything to that I've done within AgriKids. It started off with storybooks. It then went into workshops and events. And we're hitting now, I think, what am I at now? I'm hitting 70,000 children. Who have taken part in the various workshops and events that I've been doing over the last number of years. And I've been very lucky along the way. I mean, the Flowgas have come on board over the last couple of years, and only four of them at the onset of a COVID, you know, it was a very big likelihood that August 2020 was going to be the end of AgriKids, because with schools closed, with no shows happening, 80% of, you know, of the revenue that I needed to keep going was actually gone. I had to reach out, I had to collaborate, I had to, you know, find new ways of getting this message out there, and I'm lucky to have found people along the way. So it all started with the books, then I got into apps and the workshops and everything else.
And you've just signed a new book deal.
I was actually approached by the O'Brien Press a little while ago about doing, I suppose, a farm-related series. And something that I'm actually equally passionate about is reconnecting Ireland back into farming and its farming heritage. Because I don't know if a lot of people know this, but our summer holidays are that bit longer in Ireland because of farming, because the whole, you know, community and the whole area would work together to help the farmers to get the harvest in over August, and schools weren't opened until that was actually done. So that's something that, you know, has stayed true. But I definitely feel that when it comes to a farming, there is definitely a disconnect, and I'm hoping that with the storybooks that I'm bringing out now, that I can engage with a whole new audience and to kind of bring up-to-date farming life and farming practices into more homes. It's something I'm very excited about. I'll be looking at a slightly older audience. It'll be my first children's novel.
Now, many people here in Donegal would be aware of the Wayne Fest in October, which is a very popular event. And glad to say that you are going to be involved in Wayne Fest this year.
I am indeed. And a big shout out to Aisling and Dennis there and the library network in Donegal, they're always so good to include the farm safety message within WainFest. So yes, I will be doing some online events in October as part of a WainFest, and I've actually recorded a family friendly event as well. So it's a fun, engaging workshop from children from as young as 3 or 4 years old can all take part, and then I'll be doing some school events for older children also. So it's really, it's just, it's an absolutely incredible festival.
And that was Alma Jordan, the founder of AgriKids. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highland's Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Time now for the weather forecast. It'll be generally cloudy for the rest of the evening, but staying mainly dry in moderate westerly breezes. Scattered outbreaks of light rain and drizzle will develop in many areas overnight, however, with areas of mist and fog. Lowest overnight temperatures 10 to 13 degrees Celsius, moderate westerly breezes. Tomorrow, Friday, mostly cloudy with scattered outbreaks of light rain or drizzle. It'll be mild and humid with highest temperatures of 17 to 19 degrees Celsius in moderate westerly breezes. Main stories in brief, and as the Defective Blocks working group meets again today, Tánaiste Dlí of Rathcur has told the Dáil 100% redress is very much on the table, but no decisions have been made. He didn't give a timeline for an announcement on a new government scheme. He was being questioned on the issue by Deputy Thomas Pringle. The Department of Higher Education says the use of student accommodation for other housing purposes is deeply disappointing. The Union of Students of Ireland, which is protesting outside the Dáil this evening and tonight, is calling for new laws to stop it being used for short-term lettings. The number of COVID-19 patients at Letterkenny University Hospital has fallen again. Latest figures show 17 people being treated there, two of them in ICU. And detectives investigating the murder of journalist Lara McKee in Derry in April 2019 have arrested a 55-year-old man. He's been questioned in Belfast. Next news at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday, the 23rd of September. The death has occurred of Margaret Doherty, 7, Clunlea, Lifford, formerly of the Fields, Port Hall. Funeral from her late residence on Saturday morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Murlock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live via St Patrick's Church webcam at mcnmedia.tv/camera/St Patrick's Church Lifford. The house funeral and burial are strictly private to family only, please. The death has taken place of John Jack McGranahan, Trusk Road, Ballybuffet. Funeral from his home on Saturday afternoon at 1:40 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Sesha O'Neill at 2 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The funeral Mass will be streamed live via the St Mary's Sesha O'Neill Facebook page. The house, funeral and burial are strictly private to family only, please. The death has taken place of Manus Early, Ocht, Cure, Muff. Funeral from his home on Saturday morning at 9:30 for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass in the Church of the Sacred Heart, Muff, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Wake, funeral and burial are private to family only, please. Manus's funeral Mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv/camera/Sacred Heart Muff. The death has taken place of Una Quigley, née Quig, formerly of Abercorn Road, Derry. Wake private to family and close friends only, please. Requiem Mass will be celebrated in St. Columba's Church Long Tower on Saturday morning at 11, with interment afterwards in the city cemetery. The death has taken place of Patricia Tish Buchanan, née McHale, Cool Cranford, formerly Cool Cronin, Foxford, County Mayo. Her remains are reposing at her home, which is private, please, to family and friends. Funeral service tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock in Milford Presbyterian Church, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of Patrick Sweeney, funeral directors. And the death has occurred of Eddie Carr, Gortnatra North, Cashel, Fanad. Eddie's remains are reposing at St Mary's Church, Fanavalti. Requiem Mass there tomorrow at 12 noon, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Mass can be viewed on the St Mary's Fanavolti and St Columba's Massmount Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to St Mary's Church Fanavolti, care of any family member.